Welcome to another informative sales productivity program from John Boyens of the Boyens Group. The focus of today's program is managing the outside sales rep. John has dedicated his business life to maximizing the productivity of sales processes for more than 30 years. During his career in corporate America, John was successful in leading national sales, service, and marketing organizations to consistently increase sales productivity, improve market share, accelerate revenue performance, and deliver bottom-line profit results. John will be sharing some of his expertise with you today as he offers tips and strategies for generating positive results when managing your outside sales rep. Now, here's John Boyens.
If you employ a business model that requires utilizing outside sales reps, for instance, selling blinds, closets, lawn care, janitorial service, signage, computer equipment, telephone systems, etc., your sales managers must have the skill to hire, train, and motivate their outside sales reps. These management skills are mission critical to the success of individual salespeople as well as to the overall success of the business. CEOs and presidents at a variety of companies and franchise systems have told me that often their sales managers wait too long to hire outside salespeople, don't know how to effectively interview salespeople, so they end up hiring salespeople on gut feel, don't know how to compensate, motivate, and incentivize their salespeople, and are experiencing high turnover in sales. The resulting problems for the sales manager include missed sales targets, inaccurate forecasting, high turnover, having to sell versus manage, etc. The resulting problems for the business include missed revenue or profit targets, cash flow misses, unhappy customers, and in a worst-case scenario, lost customers and/or lost market share. Let me highlight something right at the beginning of this audio program. Most sales managers didn't end up in a management position because they expressed an interest in sales management or demonstrated the skill to be a good sales manager. They just happened to be a successful salesperson that was tapped on the shoulder when the management position became available. In the case of the franchisee, more frequently than not, the owner became the sales manager by default, with no managerial or sales experience at all. That's not a formula for success. The biggest challenge for the new sales manager is to establish a sales management process with which to lead their team. In order to accomplish this, they must learn new skill sets that focus on the individual's success and ultimately the team's success. 94% of sales managers we interviewed across the globe made substantially less money in their first year as a sales manager than they did in their last year as a salesperson. Further, it is harder for them to earn their bonus or commission because now they have to get the entire team to perform to achieve their quota instead of just worrying about themselves. Lastly, they no longer have control of their time because everyone is pulling on them. Here are some additional facts about sales management. 90% of management problems are people problems. 90% of people problems are communication problems. And frankly, the biggest stumbling block to good communication is poor listening. Many sales managers promoted from a sales position are asked to manage what used to be a team of their peers. Most sales managers spend most of their time disciplining the low performer versus coaching the high performer. Poor hiring is the number one cause of unproductive or inconsistent sales performance, and often leads to employee retention issues. Establishing clear expectations is a must for successful sales management. Sales managers need to inspect what they expect. And the sales manager is judged by how well their team performs, not how well they themselves perform. The bottom line is that it takes very specialized skills to enjoy a successful career in sales management. Some of those specialized skills include the ability to manage your salespeople, your customers, your peers, your coworkers, and yes, even your boss. The ability to quickly assess the talent of one's team and then have the wisdom and courage to make the necessary changes. The ability to recruit, hire, motivate, and retain high-performing sales individuals. The ability to establish, execute, and inspect a consistent sales and sales management process. The ability to coach and train their salespeople versus sell for their salespeople. And lastly, the ability to effectively manage time, juggle multiple priorities, and put their salesperson's needs first.
Now let's talk about hiring and training. Let's listen in as John gives tips for assessing the readiness of potential new hires as well as current employees. It's all about identifying the mission-critical tasks required for an outside sales rep and then identifying their skill and will to do those tasks. If you haven't done it already, locate the digital file titled Individual Assessment Tool, located on this CD, and print it out so you'll have it handy as John walks you through hiring and training.
It is important for the sales manager to identify the mission-critical tasks for their outside sales reps, and then assess the readiness level of each of their sales reps to execute those tasks effectively. I believe that the following five tasks are mission-critical for any outside sales rep, regardless of what they sell. Number one, sell and deliver consistent results. Number two, canvas, prospect, and/or network. Number three, follow up with prospects and clients. Number four, complete administrative tasks on time and accurately. And number five, plan their day and manage their time efficiently. So how does one assess the readiness level of each of their sales reps to execute those tasks effectively? Here are some guidelines. You may want to refer to the printout of the individual assessment tool that was included with this program if you have it handy. This tool will help you to evaluate your existing salespeople or when evaluating potential salespeople. I define readiness by two key factors, skill and will. Does the employee have the ability to do the job, skill, and the desire to do the job, will? As you look at the top left-hand side of the paper, you will see selected skill questions, which include, have they had either formal or informal training? Do they understand the task that is required? Can they easily apply the task as needed? And have they done this before and how often? Below the skill questions, you will see selected will questions, which include, do they have the get up and go to do the task? Do they have the incentive to do what's being asked of them? Is there a safety net if they fail at first? And lastly, do they trust in their abilities to do this task? In the upper right-hand section, you'll see a rectangle with four lines that represent four categories. The four categories represent the four possible combinations of skill and will as it relates to executing a specific task. The different categories are identified as R1, through R4. R1 identifies an employee that has low skill and low will. R2 identifies an employee that has low skill and high will. R3 identifies an employee that has high skill and low will. R4 identifies an employee that has high skill and high will. Now, obviously, there's no such thing as an R1 or an R4 person. This rating system is only to be used to rate individuals by their ability to execute a specific task. Naturally, you'd like to hire people with a lot of R2 and R4 tendencies because the common denominator between those two categories is high will. They really want to. Conversely, you want to avoid hiring people with a lot of R1 and R3 tendencies because the common denominator between those two categories is low will. They just don't want to. I call a person that has a lot of R1 tendencies a toad, T-O-A-D, toad. If you hire someone with R1 tendencies, again, that's low skill and low will, and then you invest the time and resources to train them, all you will get is a smart toad, and kissing them won't turn them into a prince of a salesperson either. Now, let's move on to the readiness grid, which has a horizontal and a vertical axis. The horizontal axis is where the five mission-critical tasks, sell, prospect, follow-up, complete administrative tasks, and manage their time, have been inserted. The vertical axis is where you insert the name of the outside sales reps on your team. Your job is to rate each outside sales rep, R1 through R4, based upon their ability to execute each specific task. For example, let's take a look at Sally and Fred's ratings as to how effectively they prospect. Sally dials for dollars every day and networks at chamber events and business meetings on a monthly basis, so you rate her an R4, high skill, high will, for that specific task. Fred doesn't like cold calling, even though it's part of his job description, and oftentimes you literally have to sit next to him to get him to pick up the phone. So you rate him an R1, low skill, low will. It's really important that you understand the importance of assessing each individual by specific tasks as opposed to attempting to put a person in one of these categories. Sally and Fred both have a varied set of skills and wills. By assessing each person's ability to execute specific tasks, you can identify exactly which skills need coaching, reinforcing, and training. Conversely, by identifying the specific skills that an employee has mastered, you can effectively leverage that skill to the advantage of the entire team.
Now, John will describe the importance of establishing individual success formulas.
Another critical step for the sales manager is to establish a success formula so that each salesperson on their team has a detailed roadmap to follow from an activity standpoint. Here's a real basic way to think about it: a recipe versus a formula. With a recipe, the ingredients and methods of preparation can vary greatly. With a formula, the ingredients and methods of execution are exactly the same every time, constantly yielding the same predictable results. Your sales management success formula should include the following. Number one, establishing a monthly revenue or sales quota for each team member. In other words, how much revenue or how many dollars in sales are you expecting your outside sales rep to bring in for any given month? Number two, tracking your outside sales rep's average order size. You can do that by dividing the amount of revenue generated by the number of orders to calculate that average order size. Number three, tracking their close rate. Divide the number of sales made in a given month by the number of prospects talked to for that same month to calculate the close rate. Number four, tracking their sales cycle. Track how long it takes from the time your salesperson qualifies a prospect until they make the sale to calculate their sales cycle. Number five, helping them understand how many qualified prospects their outside sales reps need in their pipeline at all times. Have them multiply the number of monthly sales needed times the close rate times the sales cycle to understand how many qualified prospects are needed in their pipeline. Let me walk you through the numbers. If someone's quota was $5,000 a month, and their average order size was $1,000, and their close rate was 20%, and their sales cycle was 60 days, you would multiply 5, which equates to 5 $1,000 deals, times 5, which equates to the closing rate of 20%, which means 1 in 5, times 2, which equates to the 60 days or 2 months of the sales cycle, which means they would need 50 qualified prospects in their pipeline at all times to consistently make their quota. Number six, helping them understand how many suspects they must talk to in order to get the right number of qualified prospects in their pipeline. As a rule of thumb, salespeople normally need 2 to 3 times more suspects than qualified prospects. These 6 questions should help your outside sales reps know exactly how many hours per week they should be dedicating to prospecting, canvassing, or networking, and how many hours should be dedicated towards account management and administrative activities.
Here are some secrets to hiring the right person the first time and every time.
Have you ever hired someone because they blew your socks off in the interview, only to have them turn into a toad once they became an employee. Most sales managers have lived that nightmare. So what happened, and more importantly, how can you avoid having it happen again? It's likely that during the interview process, you subliminally switched from interviewing the person to trying to hire the person. Let me be more specific. Let's say that you've had an open position for quite some time. Let's say that you or other employees have to cover for that open position, and it's putting quite a bit of strain on the organization. Finally, a candidate appears at your door that at least looks the part. He or she sits down for the interview, and as they answer the first question, you observe that they're quite articulate and that they answer the question the way you'd hope they'd answer it. The second question you ask probably became easier than the first because you think that this might be the one. All of a sudden, you move full speed ahead into the hiring mode. You tell them about the job, you sell them on the company, you sell them on the benefits, and so forth. You do everything except interview them. One way to keep from falling into that trap is to use a process called behavioral interviewing. Behavioral interviewing is a technique based on the fact that a candidate's past and present behavior is the best predictor of how he or she will behave in the future. But behavioral traits don't appear on a resume. They can only come from an interactive interview. Furthermore, interviewers need to obtain repeated examples of a specific behavior to ensure that the behavior they are observing is real and not just turned on for the interview itself. By asking specific questions about past experiences, an interviewer can better predict future behavior by eliminating misunderstandings, preventing the halo effect, you know, they can do no wrong, and reducing the candidate's ability to mislead. Interviews not based on exploring competencies inevitably focus exclusively on education, experience, and knowledge. Exactly what's on the resume. While these are clearly important, they only reveal what a candidate says they did. Behavioral interviewing helps you get to the how and the why behind a candidate's performance and what he or she is likely to do in the future with your company. Let me give you some examples of behavioral or situational interview questions. Number one, who is the best manager you've ever worked for and what made them so good? Number two, tell me about a difficult customer situation that you were able to satisfactorily resolve. Number three, describe your job hunting process and desired outcome. Number four, tell me about a time you had to complete a rush project with no resources and little direction. Before you interview the candidate, it's important to establish timelines and guidelines for the interview. Here are some tips for conducting a successful interview.
Set the tone.
Establish rapport and help create a pleasant atmosphere. Following the greeting, some small talk is usually of value to relax the applicant and to help establish open communication.
Set the agenda.
Take control of the interview and explain what will occur during the 30-minute interview process. Let them know you'll be taking notes.
Gather information.
Interviewing requires listening, probing, reflecting, summarizing, and evaluating skills. Ideally, the interviewer should talk only about 25% of the time, and the candidate should talk the other 75%. Ask 4 or 5 behavioral or situational questions similar to the ones highlighted earlier. Avoid asking questions that require only a yes or a no answer.
Describe the position.
Provide a realistic job preview. It is critical for the candidates to receive an honest overview of the job responsibilities, the work climate, your expectations, compensation, hours, overtime requirements, training, etc. This is one of the most critical and yet overlooked steps in the interview process. Unrealistic expectations by an interviewee or the interviewer are a surefire recipe for disaster.
Answer their questions.
The applicant's objectives are to gather information about the position as well as sell him or herself. Provide the opportunity for applicants to accomplish these objectives towards the end of the 30-minute interview.
Conclude.
Ask the candidate what 2 things they want to be sure you know about them. thank the applicant for their time, and explain what will happen next. For instance, when the hiring decision will be made, how it will be communicated, etc. I have one additional suggestion when interviewing salespeople. At the end of the interview, flip an inanimate object, a magic marker, a pen, or something, to the candidate and ask them to sell it to you. You'll know by how they approach you if their style will be a good fit for your company. This interviewing tactic has several advantages for the interviewer. You'll get the candidate off of the scripted answers that they may have had at the ready to impress you. You'll get a snapshot of how they can handle an unexpected, spontaneous request from a client. This can give you a clue as to any pre-interview prep this candidate did. Do they even know what you sell and why someone would benefit from purchasing your product or service? If they didn't do any pre-interview prep for a job that they want to secure, what makes you think that they will bother with pre-call prep for the many sales calls that you expect them to make and execute on a daily basis? By establishing a behavioral interviewing process, sales managers will be better able to assess potential candidates in terms of skills, aptitude, attitude, and fit.
Now John shares his expertise with some sales management best practices.
The best sales managers that I've ever encountered focus more on being a leader than being the boss. Let me offer you the following for your consideration. A boss talks while a leader listens. A boss keeps control while a leader shares control. A boss gives directions while a leader asks questions. A boss fixes mistakes while a leader coaches. A boss judges after the fact while a leader helps throughout. A boss takes credit while a leader gives credit. A boss finds weaknesses while a leader builds on strengths. A boss fosters dependence while a leader demands independence. A boss punishes failure while a leader rewards effort and taking risks. A boss reprimands in public while a leader praises in public. And finally, a boss praises in private, if ever, while a leader guides in private. It's also important that sales managers set clear expectations. Here are some examples. Make sure that all tasks are clear, understood, and delineated. At the beginning of each year, establish individual performance appraisal criteria for your outside sales reps. Establish a contract with difficult outside sales reps to ensure success. Create smaller and achievable incremental goals that are measured on a monthly and quarterly basis. Create individual development plans. Establish an annual review process for your outside sales reps. Facilitate RAP sessions, which stands for review and plan, with your salespeople on a monthly basis. For instance, the first Tuesday of every month, and make sure you include the following topics. Review of actual revenue or sales performance achieved versus forecast. Review activity levels from the previous month. Discuss what accounts will close in the next 30 days and over the next quarter. And have them share their 30-day calendar with you so that you can check activity levels. One crucial mistake in managing salespeople is treating everyone alike. Some managers think that treating people the same results in treating them fairly. It's important to learn, understand, and accept the individual differences of each of your team members. Begin first by getting to know what individually motivates them. Here's an exercise or tool to define personal motivation. Take out a piece of paper and draw two columns. List the current members of your team on one column, and next to each name, note specific rewards, events, and actions that you could provide which they would find personally motivating. You may be thinking, how could I possibly know what will motivate each individual? That's simple. Ask them. Remember, we want salespeople with the will to succeed, so let's keep them reaching for a goal.
Are you familiar with the concepts of developmental coaching, time management, and setting SMART goals? Once again, here's John.
Developmental coaching is an approach to growing and motivating individual salespeople. Remember, it's important never to assume that what is important to one salesperson will be meaningful to the next. We've talked about rewards that can be personally motivating. Now let's explore work-related goals that motivate the individual. So how does one go about learning the uniqueness of each salesperson? One handy way to begin the developmental coaching process with your salespeople is to take a snapshot. Take a snapshot of an individual's motivators by posing these 8 questions to each salesperson. This series of questions will help you understand what's important to each team member. The 8 questions are, 1, what do you do well? 2, what do you most enjoy doing? 3, what would you like to do better? 4, how can I help you get there? 5, what do you want to accomplish this year? 6, what are your performance goals? 7, what would you like to learn this year? And 8, what are the best ways for you to learn? Time management is another challenge for most salespeople and sales managers, so let me offer the following time management tips. Know what you want from your time. Learn the difference between urgent and important. Know and respect your priorities. Schedule time for your tasks. Know how you spend your time. Here's a good way to know exactly how you spend your time. Analyze your time wasters. Take out a piece of paper and list all the activities that you perform on a weekly basis. Then, group like activities together. Then, assign a percentage of time spent on each group. Remember, it can't exceed 100%. Then, pie graph the results. Then, ask yourself the following 2 questions. If my distribution of time does not change, will I be able to achieve my personal and professional goals? Considering the results of this pie graph, what activities should I start, stop, or continue doing to manage my time in order to achieve my goals? And finally, set SMART goals. SMART: specific, measurable, attainable, rewarding, and timely. As a matter of fact, I suggest that every outside sales rep sets the following SMART goal. I will increase the number of qualified prospects in my pipeline by 20% in the next 90 days. This goal is very specific, can be easily measured, it's timely, and will certainly be rewarding. It's also attainable. We know it's attainable since we've already covered the formula to determine how many qualified prospects are needed to make quota. The best way to accomplish this SMART goal is to profile what your best customers look like. In other words, revenue size, industry, zip code, number of employees, etc., and then market to like companies. And also to ask for referrals. Always, always ask for referrals. We've covered a lot of material in this audio program, including some facts about sales management, the need for specialized skills, hiring and training, establishing success formulas, hiring the right person the first time and every time, sales management best practices, developmental coaching, including time management, and SMART goal setting. It's now up to you to select and ultimately integrate the tools, processes, and concepts from this program that will help you refine your sales management process to keep your salespeople focused, motivated, and successful. Imagine how much easier your life would be if the worst member of your team was a B-plus performer. When you analyze your daily activities and formulate your sales management process, you will empower your team to make more productive use of their time to generate positive results. By creating a success formula for your team, you hold the keys to their ultimate success. Utilize the tools, processes, and concepts that I've outlined for you today and unlock your team's full potential for a more productive tomorrow.
This concludes Managing the Outside Sales Rep with John Boyens. We hope you've enjoyed our program and will put these tips to immediate use in your management activities. John's expertise in sales, sales management, and strategic marketing keeps him in demand as a guest speaker, facilitator, workshop leader, and business consultant. John is the co-author of the book, Real World Sales Strategies That Work, and several audio CD series, including Techniques of World-Class Sellers and The Productive Selling Zone. For more information on all products and services available through the Boyens Group, or how the Boyens Group can custom design a program to meet your unique needs, please visit us on the web at boyens.com.